Well, there's radio talent and there's, well, masterful radio talent.
You?
Please. How about Gary Burbank? He went into the National Radio Hall of Fame over the weekend. Here's some of his work from, oh, let's say this is about 45 years ago.
This is Gary Burbank telling you, and only you, that this is Gary Burbank speaking to you through my mouth. WAKY Butterfly time is 4:31.
Gary Burbank, you talked so fast on the radio. Did you ever have any idea what was coming out next, or was all just free form, wasn't it?
Well,
hello, Gary.
Oh, no. I'm trying to make up for it now by talking real slow. No, it was all free form. You know, all of it wacky. Of course, you know, I had written some things down and, you know, I had some ideas and stuff, you know, and I'd go to it. I did that my entire time. I would write scripts and things, but never really write them out that well. You know, just write a line or two and then just see where you go. And then, but you always got another line to come back to if you go off too far.
You always had 3,000 lines and nobody ever knew where you were going with each thing. And they always ended with people just shaking their heads going, how does that guy think of that stuff every day?
You know, yeah, well, see, I was as surprised as anyone when I got someplace that had a period at the end. I'm like, oh, hey, I must be done.
Did you ever have a boss who would come in and say, you talk too much, just play the music?
No, they used to come in and say, what are you doing playing music? You know, because whenever I would be hired somewhere, it was always after. Actually, it was at WHS about, you know, two or three, maybe a year or two into it. Played a little music, but Gary David would come in and say, hey, you know, you just talk as much as you want, because I was, you know, having a good time doing that. And I think that was the beginning of me, you know, that's at HAS is when I started really doing talk radio.
Well, and you're the one who cleared the way for me here, because you set them up and taught them that there's more than just playing records. So I got the advantage of having you come in and blaze a trail first.
Yeah, see, there was a nice road, and it didn't say, well, yeah, there was one that said men on the door, but no, that was us. I mean, we went on the air, and we did that, and myself, and again, it wasn't just me, you know, Berkey and everybody, you know, we all kind of liked leaning that way, and radio was kind of leaning that way, too, and I think HAS was sort of a, you know, in the forefront of that.
You had a heck of a run in Cincinnati after you left Louisville. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, and also talk about Saturday nights in Chicago when you were inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. You know, this is nice, because they always say after retirement, there's only one major event remaining, and luckily, that major event hasn't occurred. You got into the Hall of Fame instead of dying, and that's good,
oh.
Gary.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that right now.
Back with Gary Burbank in a couple of minutes here on 84 WHAS.
Two-roll savings on all photomat prints.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had Gary Burbank audio queued up here.
Bardstown Road and Taylorsville Road.
Now, that's not you, Gary. That's some other voice. I pulled up some old HAS audio and I had your label on it there. Sorry about that, brother.
I was playing a commercial at the time.
Yeah, maybe.
Every time I make a mistake.
Oh, here you are.
Okay, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. It's 3:45, now 15, until 4 o'clock.
Well, that's some dirty-sounding audio. It's got a bunch of...
Actually, I had... no, I won't say that. Go ahead. But so, you know what I was going to say anyway.
Of course. Yeah. All right, you had a couple of characters on when you were on the radio in Louisville, and you carried those up to Cincinnati, and then you created a whole lot more at WLW in Cincinnati. So who lives on? Isn't Earl Pitts still out there on the radio somewhere?
Oh, yeah, Earl Pitts is on about 200 stations, and I did Eunice and Bernice came about, and I carried them up here. The Reverend Deuteronomy Skaggs of the Little Radio Church of the White-Winged Gospel Truth. Don't make me holler. Don't make me shout. Turn them pockets inside out. I'm talking that green Sabbath of salvation.
Amen!
I think I just gave myself a hernia.
And Eunice and Bernice used to call in, and they thought you were Milton Metz, right?
Right, that really came about with someone that was real. I was on the air one day at HAS, and this real sweet lady, Fern, used to call me from Paris, Kentucky. And one day, her and a friend were at her house, and they called, and they had been into the gin. And so I didn't put them on the air because I could just, you know, I had them a little bit on the air, just a little bit, but it got a little out of hand. They had to be about 80, I guess, at the time. And so the next day I put together the Eunice and Bernice with a friend of mine from the sales department. We did the whole thing. The Siamese twins joined together at the telephone. And I I did it on the air, and right after I did it, you know, the phone rings, and this is not on the air. I picked it up, and she said, "You don't think I know what you're doing there?" And I went, I'm sorry, Fern. And she goes, "No, I thought it was funnier now." She said, "Did we really sound like that?" I said, "Just like that. You were talking at the same time, one of you doing harmony with the other."
All right, Gary, tell me about Saturday night at the National Radio Hall of Fame festivities in Chicago.
Well, I tell you who knocked everybody out was Johnny Bench. You know, they called me. They said, "We need for you to get someone to introduce you and blah, 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 and all that." So I said, "Okay, we'd like for you to find someone famous." And I was thinking, okay, Terry Miners is going to be busy. So what I want to do is, so I just called Bench and I said, you know, what was going on? And he said, "Well, you know, I'm in New York that the night before, and then I have a breakfast program in New York for a charity that very same morning." So I said, "Well, don't worry about it." He goes, no. "I see now where I can get a flight at 4:30 in the afternoon." And he can't wait to get there. And he goes on, and he breaks into the best Harry Carey, who's been drinking a lot. That's superfluous. So, you know, Harry Carey, you know, I don't even have to say been drinking a lot.
Of course.
But he does a perfect impression of Harry Carey. And this starts going into my characters, which I thought it was cool because, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he wasn't just some famous guy we got to get up there. He actually was a fan and knew all the stuff that was going on. And he was just tremendous. And we had just a great time that night. I mean, you know, there's so many cool people. I told you about, there's a guy on the air in Chattanooga named Luther Massengale who's been on the air for, well, see, he's 90 years old. He's on the air every day and still on the air. And his specialty is helping you find your lost dog. And he's great. He gets up. He's a little old guy, and everybody just fell in love with him immediately. You know, and he gets up, and he's like, "Well, and now," and he does a speech, and at the end of it, he says, "And if you ever lose your dog, just give me a call." And we all just broke up, and everybody stood up. The whole night was like that. I mean, everyone that got up, Art LeBeau, remember Art LeBeau?
Of course.
And I used to listen to Art LeBeau when I was kind of coming up in radio, and a lot of got Dick Biondi, those kind of guys we always heard, and here I was hanging out with them, and it was just it was tremendous. They were old guys though.
Yeah, you wrote a great book called Voices in My Head about your radio career, but for now, would you mind telling us, were there any Cincinnati Reds players or Cincinnati Bengals players who were upset at the parodies that you were doing on the air, and they wanted to get a piece of you?
No, you know, actually the only person was Mike Brown, the guy that owns the Bengals now. His father, Paul Brown, Seg Dennison, the guy that worked in the sports department, said they used to have to, he wanted, every week, he wanted a copy of all my Bengals. And he loved it, and he laughed at it. On the other hand, when he died, his son took over, he got into a big fight with the station, telling them to demand that I stop doing that, and they convinced him it's satire, blah, 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 nothing he can do, and so he grudgingly accepted it the whole time, and Marge Schott hated my guts.
I'm sure she did, because she was a crusty old lady anyway.
Yeah, she was kind of weird. She came in one day on my show. I did a thing called Sports or Consequences, and she just walked in the door, and Chris Collinsworth was standing on the other side, and we were going back and forth on the air, and she was, you know, talking with us, and everything seemed, it's a longer story, I'll cut it down, but she just, as she left and she walked out the door, I turned to Chris and I said, "If there's anyone in the world she hates more than me, it's you." And so why did she come in and have so much fun with us? And Chris leaned in and said, "You were too far away, but I'll tell you this, vodka is a friend of us all."
And you have to love seeing Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football, too.
Oh, yeah, he's the greatest guy in the world. He's just another really great guy. You can't faze him. He just, Chris, I know because he came in one morning. I thought he was mad at me. He was doing network stuff then. They had him at Wimbledon, and so I did a little fake thing. And let's go to Chris Collinsworth for an update on what's going on in Wimbledon. And we had the sound of tennis, two people playing tennis, like, toonk, toonk. So I would just say, "Toonk, he hit it, toonk, he hit it, toonk, he hit it, toonk, he hit it, back to you." But he came, he was laughing himself to death. He loved it. I don't know why it was that funny, but to him it was.
I could picture that, too. All right, so you have the book, and people can find that where? Online, Amazon.com?
Amazon.com. It's called Voices in My Head. Greg Horde actually wrote the book. I just told him a bunch of stories, and he put them down there.
They're great.
That's how Johnny really kind of got into it. He called me. In fact, it was so funny. He called me yesterday, and I was about to call him to thank him, to thank me, because he had so much fun there. So if anybody ever has a chance, especially when Terry goes in the Hall of Fame, when maybe if I ever get famous enough to introduce you, I will do that. I'm gonna work. That's my life.
That's your job, buddy. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm famous enough to introduce you when you go into the Hall of Fame. You all should go up and take a look at that. It's in Chicago, and it's really a cool place.
I've been there. I love it. Now, Gary, are you still playing music?
I am. I'm with a group called Earl Pitts and Hardcore Corn, and we've got a song called "Sit on My Facebook and Twitter." And I'm serious. I know that sounds weird, but we do. But we plan on coming up with some better stuff.
Gary Burbank, can you sign us off with a Pitts off so that we can close out? Again, the book's called Voices in My Head. You can find it on Amazon.com. Congratulations.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're a great guy. You're great for this industry, Gary. Thanks for all your contributions.
I'm so glad. American and Pitts off.